Let's open up to the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter of Ecclesiastes, if you would. Boy, I just like to be an encouragement to you tonight, you know. Here it is, it's Labor Day weekend. A lot of people, man, they've departed for the lake or somewhere else, and here you are, you came to church tonight, so I'm not going to chew you out, all right? I'm going to pat you on the back, encourage you a little bit, and give you something to rejoice over. You can go home whooping it up, all right? Just glad you're in the house of the Lord. And I'm glad the Johnsons came by to visit with us tonight. It's good to have them here. I'll not forget meeting him. The first time I met him, he was a rep for Pensacola Christian College, right? And he came and visited our school. And and then the next thing I see, he's down leading the music down at Worth, you know. And so, how long were you there?
11 years.
11 years. All right, good. All right, that's good. So, here you are, Ecclesiastes 3, one verse, verse 14. The Bible says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. I think most of you know that the book of Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon. And according to the scriptures, Solomon was one of the wisest men that ever lived. Now, like other wise men, he did some foolish things later in life. But he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes after going on a search for knowledge. If anybody you could say he had it all, Solomon had it all right? He had all the wealth that you could want, anything, you know. He experienced it all. He saw it all. And in the midst of that, he learned some things, all right? He learned some things. And one of the great things he learned is what we just read in verse 14. And that is what the Bible says, whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Hey, there's some reasons that's true. It's forever because there's none to overrule him.
Amen.
There's never anybody could come along and overrule what he's done. It's forever because there's no new thing that outdates his work. Glory to God. There's nothing that comes along that outdates it. I despise computers, and that's one reason. Because, man, once I get used to working one and I finally got it figured out, it falls apart. You go buy another one, and they've got a different operating system. And I've got to figure all of that out, you know. So, man, I'm glad what God does forever. There's no new thing that'll outdate his work. It's forever because what he does will not decay and crumble. It just lasts forever. It's forever because there's none strong enough to break in and steal and destroy what he's done. It's forever. It's forever because it's perfect. It's perfect. Nothing can be added to make it better. Neither can anything be removed to sharpen it, you know. It's not like that. It's perfect. It's perfect. The only thing I know that was ever close to that was my mom's pecan pie. And I remember when we were, you know, still at home, and one day she had cooked one, and we went in there, and we cut it and got a bite, and I'm chewing it, and we looked at each other. My brother and I, my dad, and we go, you've tampered with the recipe. You know, and she had added a little something different. We said, don't do that again, all right? It was perfect the way it was, all right? Leave it alone. Leave it the way it was. Well, the Lord, his work's perfect. You can't add to it and make it any better. You can't sharpen it up by taking something away from it. His work is forever because his plan and his purpose, I'm so glad of this, it never changes.
Amen.
Never changes. What he does is forever. We know what his plan is. We know what his purpose is. We don't have to worry about it changing. He's not going to change it. It is forever. Will not be changed. Just think with me a few things tonight, if you will. First of all, his word's forever. His word is forever. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 12 says, of making many books, there is no end. Now, I am a book lover. I like to read. I enjoy. Somebody says, well, I've got my Kindle. I don't like to read by swiping my finger across. I like to read by turning a page. I like to hold a book in my hand, all right? I just enjoy it. I like to acquire books. When I go out, I want to have a big library that somebody can fight over, all right? Or my kids can sell at a garage sale, you know, whatever. But I enjoy books. I like to read, and I've got a lot of them. And from time to time, when I can order one and figure I can get to the post office box before my wife does, and she doesn't find out about it, I'll keep adding to my library, you know. But there's thousands of them been printed, multiplied thousands of books, probably millions. But yet most of them, millions of them, you know, so many of them are out of print. You can't find them anymore. What was at one time very, very popular now lies somewhere forgotten. Totally forgotten. Maybe stuck in some library shelf or some dusty storage bin somewhere. But it's forgotten. It's over. The Bible, though, the Bible's never gone out of print. Never gone out of print. God put it here. He's given it to us. Amazing how he preserved it, you know. When a lot of it, that Old Testament was written, it was all written by hand, you know. The New Testament, they did it on computer. Okay, I was kidding about that. It was all, you know, written out by hand. And originally, boy, if you got a copy of it, you had to copy it. You had to put that effort into it. But God was able to preserve it. Able to preserve it so you and I, we can sit down, we can open the Word of God and know we still have His Word. Why? Because what He does is forever. It's forever. Despite the hatred of atheists, despite the envy, if you will, of agnostics and heathens, hasn't been destroyed. Hasn't been destroyed. Now, there's been times where people have tried to. They've had book burnings, you know. There was a time when in some parts of the world that it was illegal for you to own a Bible. And man, they'd come around looking for you. If they found you with a Bible, you could be burned at the stake. That's some of the history of this book, all right? It's not that this book's always been... Hey, by the way, it's religious people that would do that. Does that make any sense? Religious people. But thank God we've got a book that God's left, and His Word is forever. The best efforts of the communists and the despots have not proven capable of stamping out the influence of the Word of God. Not capable of doing it. Even in some communist lands, probably the most restrictive place in the world now to live is China, communist China, and yet there's people over there that they're going to do everything they can if they could just get a copy of this book. Just get a copy of it. We've had missionaries come through talk about how God's blessed and they're involved in the business of giving out the Word of God, going to other countries, and they talk about how thrilled people are to get a copy of it and hold it, man, hug it to their chest. What a wonderful thing it is to have this book. Hey, today still stands as the most popular bestseller has ever been. Ever been, all right? Now, that ought not to be any surprise because God said in His Word, it shall not pass away. Amen. Shall not pass away. Phil Schuller wrote a great song. Part of the words are, when the dollar's worth a dime, when the world's run out of time, you can count on this old book still being true. From the Lord it was conceived to the writer's spirit breathed. It's the only perfect guide for me and you. Hold to the book. What a great song. What a great song. What a great truth. What a wonderful thing it is to know that His Word's forever. Let me just throw this in. I've said it before, but I'd like to remind you, it's the only thing in this world you can hang on to that's perfect. It's the only thing you can put your hand on that's perfect, all right? I believe we got the perfect Word of God. I believe that. Nothing else perfect. Now, I know when your little one was born or your grandchild, you looked at them and said, oh, isn't he or she perfect? No, they weren't. They aren't. And they won't be, all right? They're not. But this book is. This book is. Hey, His Word is forever. Let me also point this out. His creation is forever. Now you say, preacher, wait a minute. That book says the heaven and the earth are going to melt with a fervent heat. It does say that. But I'll tell you, the crowning work of creation is man. That's the crowning work of creation. All right? Man is going to last forever. Going to last forever. Everybody you see, everybody you've ever seen is going to live somewhere forever. You can count on it. Man's going to last forever. Do you realize all the rest of creation is basically merely a setting for man? A setting for man. Everything around, all right? The atmosphere, the sky, the universe, that's just something for us to marvel at. It entertains people. It entertains the astronomers and the physicists, you know? And they take those telescopes and they look up and see some amazing things, and it's given people something to do, build them rockets and put the Hubble telescope in that rocket, shoot it up, put it into orbit, and man, after they got it there, they had to adjust it because first photos it took were out of focus. Wouldn't that have been discouraging if you'd have been the scientist that put it up there? But they were able to work on it, get it working good, and man, we can gaze, we see the pictures they bring, gorgeous. All of that there. Why? So God could put somebody else something? No. So you and I could sit here and admire it. We could enjoy it. Every bit of it. The earth itself is a place for man to dwell. God put it here for us to dwell on. Hey, all of earth's fullness is to provide for man's needs. Now, I know the ecologist gets all excited. We're ruining the planet. Everything here. Remember what God told Adam?
Yes, sir.
He said, you get out and you have dominion over it.
Right.
He didn't say, now watch out, okay? Watch out. Don't pollute the atmosphere. Now, I'm not for pollution, okay? I think that's a dumb thing to do. But everybody know, don't use those fossil fuels. Why do you think God put them there?
Amen.
Why do you think God put them there? Hey, he put what's here for man. And it is to provide for man's needs. One day it'll pass away. But not man. Not man. Man's going to live somewhere forever.
Right.
You count on. Man was created to last forever.
Right.
When God made Adam and Eve, I believe with all my heart, he made Adam and Eve to live forever right here on the earth.
Yes, sir.
But even after sin entered the scene and brought death,
right,
it was only the body's existence that became terminated, all right? It was all of it there. It was not, it wasn't all of man. Man has a soul, man has a spirit, and that's what makes us different from the animals. I'm not going to say that your dog is not going to be in heaven, all right? Or your cat. I'm not saying that. I did that one time. Lady got mad at me when she went out. Woo! She unloaded on me. But I'm going to tell you this, you'll look forever before you find them in heaven, all right? But I'm not saying they're not going. Hey, listen, God created man to live forever, all right? He created us. He made them that way. The soul and the spirit of man, they're indestructible in that sense. They will live forever. But boy, I got some marvelous, marvelous news. Take your Bible to Jonah chapter 2, would you? Jonah chapter 2. There's some other things that God did that are forever, and he's still doing it. And it is forever. Jonah chapter 2. Thank goodness I found it. All right, Jonah chapter 2. I'll give you a minute or two to find it there. Jonah chapter 2 is pretty easy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Jonah. It's right there. All right. All right, Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. Notice what the Bible says. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Oh, but look at that last phrase. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. It's His doing. It's His doing. Brother Johnson said, He came to me. You said, no, I came to Him. No, He came to you. He came to you. He was looking. Jesus said on this earth, He was here, He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came looking for you one day, all right? He came and looking for you. Now, He may have put a yearning within you, all right? But He came after you, and salvation is His doing. It's not what you do. It's what God does for man, all right? It's His doing. Therefore, remember what God does is forever. Salvation's forever. Salvation's forever. We do battle with folks that believe you can lose it. You can lose it. Brother Dunbar wound up in a war of words, I guess. We shall call it a minor skirmish, okay, of words with a fellow on some chatting something or another, all right? I don't know what it was. I don't know if it's Facebook or Twitter or whatever, all right? But he got into a little bit of a skirmish of words, and that guy, he posted something on there, and he said ASAS or OSAS. And Brother Dunbar and I said, what's that? Because in what he was talking about, I thought, it's got nothing to do with anything I know of. And so finally I said to him, I said, Brother Dunbar, the only thing I can think of that would have anything to do with is once saved, always saved. And sure enough, he found out that's what this clown believes. All right? He's listened to somebody else teach him what the Bible doesn't teach. The Bible doesn't teach that. Hey, that salvation you have is forever. I would just, you know, we could take a poll tonight here and ask who saved you. I've had people that I've witnessed to that knew nothing about, well, very little about the Word of God. They weren't familiar with terminology. And I've had them tell people, Brother Mosley saved me. Now, I know what they meant when they said that, but they really didn't mean what they said. If I had saved them, they'd be in bad shape, all right? They'd sure be in bad shape. And what they meant was I led them to the Lord. I opened the Bible and showed them how to be saved. But I'm going to tell you something, I can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. If you're drowning and I'm on the shore, when you wave at me, just consider it waving goodbye, all right? Because I can't save you. I can't swim out there and save you. I could swim out there and we'd both drown together. But there's no sense in both of us dying just because you got yourself in a mess, all right? So I'm not coming. I can't save you swimming. Can't do that, all right? I'm not able to do that kind of thing. But I'll tell you what. When it comes to eternal life, there's one that does that. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what He does. It's what He does. Now, we're not going to add to the Scripture, but you remember what the book says. It says what God does is forever. What God does is forever. Salvation is forever. You know why it's forever? Because as 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 says, we're kept by the power of God. Kept by the power of God. Friend, we're not hanging on. We're not hanging on to Him. Not on your life. One of the great pictures of salvation is in the Old Testament where the ark was built and the invitation from the Lord to Noah and his family was, come in. Come in. Hey, they didn't drive 8 nails on the outside and say, hang on, it's going to be a tough ride. No, it was, you come on, you're safe in here. You're safe in here. Listen, I'm not holding on to Him. He's holding on to me. I'm kept tonight by the power of God. Not kept by my ability. Not kept by my works. Not kept by what I think. I'm kept by His power. And my friend, if you're saved tonight, you're kept by the power of God. You trusted Christ as your Savior. He made you a new creature. And He saved your soul. You do not have to worry about losing that thing. All right? It's yours, all right? Can't be taken away from you. Can't be taken away from you. Boy, great picture there in John chapter 6. The Bible says, neither can any man take him out of my hand. That's where we are. We're in His hand. We're in His hand. You know, you ever play with a child and put something in your hand and they try to take it away from you? They try to pry your fingers open. Now, if, you know, you a full-grown adult, surely you can keep a 3-year-old from getting it out, right? Surely you can. I'm going to tell you, when God, we're talking about man and God, it's God and a 2-month-old, not a 3-year-old, all right? There's no way you can't get him out of your hand. Salvation's forever. Salvation is forever. You got it? What a joy it is. I'm not worried about waking up in the morning and thinking, I just don't feel saved. I just don't feel saved. I wonder if I did something in the night that caused me to lose my salvation. I don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that. Now, I've heard people to say, listen, if I believe what you believe, man, I'd just go out and live any way I please. I said, well, I do. I live any way I please. But I please to live to please the Father, all right? Because He's the one who saved me. And He did something so great for me that I just feel like I ought to do something for Him, you know? Just ought to do something for Him. Salvation's forever. But let me throw another stick on this thing. Hell's forever, too. Hell's forever, too. Without a shadow of a doubt. The Bible tells us in Matthew 25, verse 41, that hell's prepared for the devil and his angels. It was not prepared for me and you. It wasn't prepared for me and you. Listen, if one of us, if we go to hell, we're going to go somewhere we're not wanted. It wasn't prepared for us. It's prepared for the devil and his angels. But the Bible very plainly says, where the fire is not quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. It's forever. It's forever. There's folks today that teach that that people will be in hell for a while, and then they'll be annihilated. It'll be gone. That's not true. That's not true from the Word of God. Not true. The rich man, the Bible tells us about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man in hell lift up his eyes being in torment. And he said, I'm tormented in this flame. The Lord didn't give him any hope whatsoever. Said, it'll only last a while. No, it's going to be forever. It'll be forever. I'm not sure, but what the worst thing about hell is there's going to come a day where everybody will be taken out of hell. Everybody's going to be taken out of hell. Can you imagine what a relief that's going to be? That crowd that's been screaming and crying and begging for a drop of water is going to be pulled out of hell only to stand before God at the great white throne judgment. Amen. And then they're going to get their day. They're going to get their day because people live today. So many people I talk to out witnessing, people I talk to, they're counting on what they can do to get them to heaven. They're saying, well, you know, I try to do this, try to be good, do right, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. And they're counting on, well, the Lord's going to reward them for their works. But He's going to tell them, your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And He's going to say, sorry, I never knew you. And those people that have spent no matter how long in hell are then going to be cast into the lake of fire. And that fire's never going to be quenched. Never going to be quenched. Hell's forever. Oh, but my friend, heaven. Heaven is forever. Heaven is forever. Now, do you ever try to sit down and wrap your mind around forever? You ever just do that? Just think about forever. Everything that we know of here on earth has a beginning and an end. Everything we know of. We think about some of you folks here, you lived for a good number of years. You've seen your friends. You were there when they were born. And they lived and then they died. They had a beginning. They had an end. I don't consider myself just the Ancient of Days, all right? But I've lived long enough that there's numerous people that I've known for years. I was around when they were born. I remember them as a little child. And been at their funeral. Everything we know has a beginning and an end. Everything. But heaven's forever. It's forever. You just try to wrap your mind around forever just a little bit. It's one of those things, you know, in a million years, that doesn't matter. We won't even count the time. How are we going to keep track of time in heaven? We keep track of time here on the sun and the moon, all right? sun comes up, it goes down, and it comes up next. We got a new day, new day. In the morning, we're all hoping to see the sun come up, you know. Okay, maybe not see it come up, but see it after it's up. Anyway, all right? And we plan to see it. We plan to be there. We're counting on it. And we just think, another day older, celebrating the birthday. Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. How are you going to measure time in heaven? The Bible said there's no night there. It's forever. It's forever. Man, what a place. What a place. There'll be nothing to date things from. Nothing to date things from. Well, when my computer crashed, you won't have to worry about that. Thank God. There won't be any of that. Forever. Forever. What God does is forever. Boy, I tell you, what a promise we have from the Word of God. What a blessing we have from this book where God tells us, hey, what God does is forever. What He does is forever. When He stamped His image on your soul, it destined you for an eternity in heaven. Eternity in heaven. But wait a minute. Just so we don't finish tonight with, and you think, well, that was all, you know, good, babe. What was the purpose? Hey, the purpose is you need to realize heaven's forever, and you may be there, but what about your friends? What about your family? What about that sorry bunch you work with? What about that person that lives next door? What about them? Hey, they're going to be somewhere forever. Somewhere forever. We've got the truth. We've got the truth. We ought to never let the world intimidate us. So oftentimes, God's people, we allow the world to intimidate us. Listen, we've got the truth. We know. I haven't preached anything tonight that you go, wow, I never heard that. Everything was said to you. I knew that. Preacher, I know that. Been reminded of it. Yeah. Hey, you remind yourself, though, that's you. Well, there's people out there don't know that. There's people out there don't know that. There's people tomorrow are going to be celebrating. There's people tomorrow that are not going to live to see the sunset tomorrow. Usually, Labor Day, somebody in the Metroplex drowns. Somebody in the Metroplex drowns. More than likely, somebody will be killed in an accident. Somebody be killed in an accident. Hey, where are they going to spend eternity? Where are they going to spend eternity? You say, preacher, I can't witness to everybody. No, but you can witness to somebody. You can tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. You can, you know, and instead, you know, I tell you, I'm done with professional sports. And you can do whatever you want to, all right? But I'm done with professional sports. So, you know, we have a habit. People will talk about that kind of stuff. I think, you know, somebody brings up how good their team is doing. I'll say, let me tell you about my captain of my team. He's never been defeated. Never been defeated. Just take advantage. Take an opportunity to witness. Take an opportunity. Yep, I'm going to live forever in heaven. But you know what? I got some friends that I'm concerned about. I got some people I've met I'm concerned about. Hey, there's some people we've prayed for. We've prayed for. Somebody needs to get the gospel to them. Somebody does. Hey, what are we doing? Are we doing our part to get more folks in heaven? God help us not fold up and just say, well, I'm okay, so that's all right. No, that's not. Somebody told you. Somebody told you. So you need to be sure you tell somebody, all right? You just need to be sure you let somebody else know. Would you do it? What God does is forever. It's going to last. It's going to last. Heavenly Father, I pray now you'd help us tonight. Lord, you'd help us to examine ourselves. What are we doing for you? You've done so much for us. You've blessed us. You've helped us. You've rewarded us, Lord. You've kept us out of problems. You've protected us so many times. But, Lord, the question then becomes, what are we doing for you? Are we faithful to serve you? Are we faithful to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we faithful, to take the Bible and let people know what that book says. Lord, would you help us tonight? As we come to the invitation time, Lord, if you just move in hearts, help us see what we need to do. And Lord, if we're lacking, I pray, Lord, you just pull us down that aisle. We'd go on our face before you and say, Lord, here I am, and I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to do what I should do. Use the invitation now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand tonight as we sing the invitation hymn? Just as I am without one plea. If God's dealing with you, if he spoke to you, hey, it may be something, nothing to do with what was preached tonight. But God's dealing with you. Boy, use the altar. Use the altar tonight, would you? Come on while we sing. Would you come?
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Come on, would you come while we sing that next verse? Maybe there's some lost individual you need to pray for. Would you come pray for them? Would you do it tonight?
Soul of